This is the John Oakley Show podcast.
I know Andrew Scheer is hoping for a great day come Monday. That's, of course, the election, we know. So we're down to the short strokes. Everybody's throwing haymakers at this time. We can see it. Perhaps some in desperation, others just feeling that, you know, there are different points that need to be raised still in the 11th hour. To that effect, Andrew Scheer has joined us on the line. He's a leader of the Conservative Party of Canada on several notes that perhaps require clarification. Mr. Scheer, always a pleasure to have you on the Oakley Show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
All right. I know it's been a busy day, but something has surfaced where some people are wondering if, in fact, there's any legitimacy to a claim you're making that the Liberals, if in a minority situation, were in some kind of a coalition arrangement with the NDP, would have to raise the GST from 5 to 7.5 percentage points. You're on record as saying that, if I'm correct, and how do you substantiate that?
Well, what we're saying is that the Liberals and NDP will form a coalition. They're openly talking about it, and that the combined cost of their platforms will add $40 billion to the deficit. That is a very costly coalition that you cannot afford. And the point I was making today was that in order to pay for this, that would represent a 2.5% increase in the GST. They have other options. They could raise personal income taxes. They could cancel existing social service transfers to the provinces. But the fundamental point here is that the Liberal government, Liberal Party propped up by the NDP would be a coalition that Canadians just cannot afford.
So if I'm clear on this, what you're saying is this is just by way of example, possible scenarios that would make up for the shortfall rather than actually saying that you have some foreknowledge that this is where they would go.
Well, exactly. And what we're challenging Justin Trudeau to do in the next few days is to come clean with Canadians, you know, explain exactly where he will raise taxes to pay for these promises that he'll have to agree to the NDP. Jagmeet Singh is already talking about what his conditions would be to prop the Liberals up. He's talking about killing the Trans Mountain pipeline. He's talking about his platform commitments, which we know would add billions and billions of dollars to the debt. So there's only one way to pay for things. It's either cutting transfers to the provinces, cutting social programs, or it's raising taxes. If Justin Trudeau explains exactly which taxes he'll raise to pay for these NDP promises, then you know we'll stop speculating. But until then, we're warning Canadians that the NDP Liberal coalition would be very costly. We would not be able to afford it. It would lead to higher taxes and less money in the pockets of taxpayers.
All right. So what you're asking for, again, if I am understanding clearly, specificity, that's the key. Andrew Scheer is with us, leader of the Conservative Party of Canada. On that matter, I mean, insofar as your own platform and promises made, are they fully costed and how will those be paid for?
Absolutely, they are fully costed. We are the only party with a fully costed platform. I should remind you that the Liberal platform contains about half of their promises fully uncosted. So we've explained to Canadians exactly where we will find our savings. We're going to cut corporate welfare by $1.5 billion, reduce the foreign aid budget by 25%, end the practice of March Madness, where the government departments in Ottawa spend hundreds of millions of dollars at the end of the fiscal year on new chairs, computers, and things like that. But again, you know, just to go back, with just a few days left, Canadians have a right to know exactly what type of deal will be cooked up between the NDP and Liberals. Which of the NDP platform commitments will Justin Trudeau agree to, and exactly how will he pay for them? We know cost of living is a big issue this election, the fact that more and more Canadians aren't getting ahead, and we have a right to know as Canadians which taxes Justin Trudeau will raise to pay for these promises. And he has a couple of days left to do so.
In a minority government scenario, where is the threshold of legitimacy and confidence shown in the government, for example? And I'm going to blue sky it here because I don't know, if you're 10 seats more than the Liberals, but there's a coalition with the NDP, do you believe there's still something that would favor your being asked to form the next government as a matter of confidence in the House? Or is 10 the number? Whereabout would be that number, that disparity?
Yeah, you know, and you know, there's a lot of analysis and some some pundits who are weighing in on that. Those are all things that we'll look at after the election. I fundamentally believe that a prime minister who enters an election and comes out of it with fewer seats than another party has lost the election. Now, if Justin Trudeau wants to cling to power by doing a deal with the NDP, he needs to come clean with Canadians on which taxes he'll raise. This is a coalition that Canadians cannot afford. We cannot afford this type of scenario. And that's why we're asking Canadians for a strong mandate. A conservative government with a strong mandate, with a majority mandate, you won't have to worry about which taxes we're going to raise because we're going to lower taxes. We're going to bring in a universal tax cut for all Canadian taxpayers. We're going to scrap the carbon tax, remove the GST from home heating. So the choice in this election is now very, very clear. It's an NDP Liberal coalition that Canadians cannot afford, or a conservative majority government that will lower taxes, get back to balanced budgets, and keep making those investments in our social programs.
All right. So to your mind, as the aphorism would have it, it's still the economy, stupid. With Andrew Scheer, by the way, Mr. Scheer, I'm wondering if we can take some questions from our executive producer, Jason Chapman, who's joined me in the studio here. If you're good for that, we'll bring him into the conversation. Is that all right?
Sure. I think I have time for one or two.
All right. And that's all I'll ask, Mr. Scheer. I put an email out and said that Mr. Oakley was going to be speaking to you, and I got a flurry of notes from our reporters who are covering the campaign, but I promised to be brief, and you've piqued the interest of people across the country. I will say that, sir. So I appreciate the time here, and thanks, John, for the time here. So the very specific question I got from Abigail Beeman, who's been covering your campaign and other of the leaders' campaign, is this, and I'll read it. Do you have a single document that proves any of this? Let me rephrase this. Do you have a single document that suggests that the NDP or Liberals would move forward with any sort of tax raise or increase?
Well, we have their platforms. We have their platform commitments, and we know that that would add billions and billions of dollars to the deficit. And we know that Justin Trudeau has already raised taxes to pay for his new spending. And so what we're challenging Justin Trudeau to do in these next few days, they are already openly speculating about what would be required for the NDP to prop the Liberals up. And we're saying you need to come clean. Before voters go to the election, before they go to the polls on Monday, they need to explain exactly what type of deal they're working on, what type of quid pro quo there would be, which types of taxes they'd be prepared to raise.
But no one single document saying, hey, we're going to do this.
Well, as I said, we have their platforms. We have their campaign spending promises, and we know what that would do to the deficit. Would it increase it by $40 billion? And what we said today was, in order to pay for that, one option would be to raise the GST by 2.5%. Another option would be to raise the first personal income tax bracket. They may cancel other types of tax credits that Canadians rely on. We know that Liberals are considering taxing the sale of primary residences. Perhaps that's something that they would go through to pay for these new spending promises. They have the choice now to come clean with Canadians and say exactly where they're going to come up with the money to pay for this costly coalition, or they can try to hide it, and Canadians will be surprised after the election.
All right,
that is one choice.
Sorry about that, sir. Sorry to interrupt. Just another question. This is this is not on my radar at all. Maybe it's on your radar. This is from Mike Drolet, one of our national reporters with Global National. I'd love if you could ask about the Canadian Border Service Agency canceling arrest warrants for people if it wants to deport but cannot find that. He just got a comment from a conservative HQ spokesperson saying a Scheer government would direct border agents to stop canceling warrants in cases where people have been ordered deported.
Well, we believe that when someone has been ordered deported, that has to be carried out. And I was at Roxton Road just a couple of weeks ago talking about my plan to close the loophole in the Safe Third Country Agreement to stop the flow of illegal border crossers. This is something that Justin Trudeau has done absolutely nothing about in his time in office. And a conservative government will restore an immigration system based on fairness, orderliness, and compassion. We are a party that believes in immigration. We just ask people to follow the rules.
So would you directly order agents to stop canceling warrants, or is that too far?
Well, I believe if a judge has ordered someone, if a finding of an immigration panel has found that someone needs to be deported for whatever reason, whether that's misrepresenting themselves on the application or if they in fact have a criminal record, those decisions have to be carried out.
Okay, the last thing, John, you've given me more than enough time, but the one other question is this goes in line. A lot of people are saying today that you're sort of making up narratives, and this also goes in line with saying that Trudeau will legalize hard drugs. Trudeau says he won't do it again and again. Why do you keep saying that?
because his candidates still say that it's something they're in favor of, because his members of parliament on the health committee voted in favor of doing exactly that, because we know the NDP are in favor of this, and now they're openly talking about what types of arrangements they will agree upon to form that costly coalition that Canadians can't afford.
But other conservative candidates do say things that you don't believe in. I hate to go here, but to the abortion issue, candidates say things all the time. It's not necessarily a party line, though.
Well, when you have a vote by Liberal members on the Health Committee, when you have a policy resolution at their convention that was adopted, when you have candidates openly talking about it, and now we have this the specter of an NDP-Liberal coalition, and we know the NDP support this. These are the types of things that Canadians have a right to ask about what exactly will this deal look like? What types of taxes will they raise? What types of policies will they implement? We know Jagmeet Singh is talking about canceling the Trans Mountain Pipeline as a condition for his support. So I think these are all relevant questions. And again, Trudeau has failed to answer exactly which taxes he would hike and which policies he would agree to from the NDP in order to cling to power.
Mr. Scheer, let me ask you, when it said a coalition of the two would run a deficit of $40 billion next year alone, would there be any problem with structural deficits? It seems like a lot of people are not mindful of how much we're going into hawk or into the hole. If it's $40 billion, $50, $60 billion or whatever, and if a recession hits, chances are we'd have to spend our way out of it. I guess that's the Keynesian model. Where is that point where of no return that you think, you know, this country could never endure a deficit of X amount?
Well, I would tell you that we hear from a lot of voters, a lot of people who are concerned about the size of the deficit, and they realize that every year that the government borrows money, that money has to be paid back with interest. And soon, in just a few years, the government of Canada will spend more of your tax dollar on just paying the interest on that debt than they currently spend on important programs like healthcare. So when we look at the consequences of $40 billion in new deficits, we know that will lead to threats to our very important social programs or higher taxes. So once again, in order to pay for this costly coalition, Justin Trudeau needs to show exactly which taxes he will raise to pay for the NDP spending promises.
All right. On that note, I appreciate your weighing in this afternoon on short notice. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Andrew Scheer, again, leader of the Conservative Party of Canada, on several of these questions that I guess were also submitted by reporters within the Global News Network. The one lost me there on the Wroxham Road and warrants over folks who were ordered deported and so on and so forth. That doesn't seem to have made anybody's radar insofar as we're concerned here, but still in all, I guess the monetary aspects or the economic implications of deficits and how they would be met. So, okay, he doesn't have any documentation, I guess, to substantiate the claim that the GST may go from 5 to 7.5%. But as you heard, he says there's got to be some scenario by which they would pay for these promises. And he just wants to know. So he's given us, he says, a couple of for instances and cut completely the Canada social transfers to the provinces. Again, no documentation to that point, but somewhere along the line, the piper has to be paid. That was a takeaway from that with Andrew Scheer.
Thanks for listening to the John Oakley Show podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your on-demand audio.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.